This is Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matters. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. The AMA is a global leader in professional development and education, improving the immediate performance and long-term growth of individuals and organizations. Check us out on our website, www.amanet.org. Today, we'll be talking to Ken Groenbach. Ken is a nationally recognized consultant and researcher on demography and generational marketing. His new book, Common Census, The Counterintuitive Guide to Intergenerational Marketing, is about the radical changes affecting U.S. business, economy, and culture caused by massive population shifts from generation to generation. Ken, tell us about your work in generational marketing. I mean, how is it different from general marketing practices, and why is it important?
Generational marketing is really nothing more than understanding how to sell to the generational segments in a particular marketplace. In this case, we're talking about the United States. And in this case, we're talking about five distinct markets in the United States. And they are the GI generation, which are the people that are over 80, the silent generation, the people that are 60 to 80, the baby boom generation, people that are roughly 40 to 60, Generation X, which is the generation roughly 20 to 40, and Generation Y are all the people under 20 years old. Understanding those segments and understanding the size of those segments and the personalities that they've developed is generational marketing.
I suppose one reason why this is important is that some companies are suffering for lack of understanding how generational changes affect their business. Can you think of any examples?
We have a clear picture of a company that's making an error right now. Rather, an industry that's making an error, and that is Detroit. You have Ford and Chrysler and General Motors do not understand that the baby boom generation is going to move on and move out of the car buying age. We know from research that the best customer for a Detroit automobile is a 43-year-old male. And it's like a bell-shaped curve. It ramps up to 43, and then it slowly goes down after 43 years old. Well, the baby boomers are exiting that age group. And once they exit that age group, it's not pretty for Detroit. Detroit does not understand Generation Y the way the Asian companies understand it. And that's why the Asian car companies are going to pass Detroit.
Okay, so how do the Asian car companies get it?
Well, you tell me. I don't know. You know, I'll be frank with you. How do they understand? I can only say I don't know where they got the revelation from, but I can tell you this. They do understand because they're building cars that Generation Y wants. And Generation Y has adopted the Hondas and the Toyotas and the Nissans much the way that the GI generation fell in love with Ford and Chevrolet and Dodge and Plymouth in the 60s and 70s.
And what about other companies that are getting it right?
Well, I think that the clear example of that would be the iPod. And the iPod is a product that has absolutely positively nailed their market. And they have positioned themselves in front of Generation Y, and Generation Y has swarmed the product. So that would be a clear example to me.
So in terms of marketing to these different generations, what kind of media would work best with a baby boomer as opposed to a Gen Xer?
It changes, and it really does. The baby boomers are the last of the conventional media viewers, whatever you want to call them. The baby boomers watch television, and they're still watching television. They're probably watching an average of 8 hours a day of television. The baby boomers still read newspapers. They're the people that are keeping this newspapers that we make from trees, is alive. Once the baby boomers stop reading the newspapers are history. Okay, commercial radio, where we trade free entertainment for our time and allowing commercial people to talk to us. All baby boomers, billboards. Does that work for Generation X? No. Generation X lives in a essentially a cyber world. It's a much, much different world. There might still be some television watching and newspaper reading with that group, the people that are currently 20 to 40, but it falls off significantly. But that's not the real problem with Generation X. for marketers. The real problem for Generation X for marketers is the fact that, again, depending on whose numbers you're using, there are roughly 11, 12 to 15 million fewer of them than boomers. And when you have a significant drop like that, which can range from 10 to 15% free fall in the size of the market, that can devastate a market. Generation Y. Generation Y right now has been a dilemma for marketers because you can't reach them by radio. You can't reach them by newspaper. You can't reach them by magazines because it's so fragmented. You can't reach them through any of the conventional means. So we start listening to the people in the cyber world that are saying, well, let's reach Generation Y through their computers. Well, a lot of that is being done, but that too is so fragmented. There's really no way to ensure that we're getting our message to them. So a suggestion that I would make, and this might be an aside, would be, has anybody considered direct mail? Has anybody considered getting a mailing list that goes directly to the kids in their households with the products that they want? Because if you get in front of a Gen Y person, I'm talking about with a piece of direct mail that's been mailed to them with their name on it that describes a product and an incentive, can you imagine, to buy that particular product, you don't think they're going to do it? Of course they'll do it. I draw from my own experience because I have an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old, two girls who love to get snail mail. And if there's a coupon in there for money off, that is compelling to them. And I'm the vehicle, so I would encourage people. I would also encourage people, in light of the fact that Generation Y, kids that are roughly 22 years and under, peaked right now at age 16, consuming at a level that's 500% of their parents, are going to be getting their driver's license and driving on the highways. What about billboards? I would put messages to Generation Y all over the highways. Yeah.
Well, that leads right into my next question, which is about the shopping experience. How are these generational changes affecting stores and shopping malls?
If you've been to a mall lately, you've noticed a particular phenomena, and that is that the complexion of the crowd has changed, and that is it's younger. It's much younger. The boomers are probably going to shy away from malls that appeal to kids, even though they are their kids, because the shopping experience that the boomer is looking for is simply make my life easy, save me some time, don't rip me off, which has always been the three questions that the boomers have, or the three conditions that the boomers have demanded if you wanted to sell them a product. But if they have to go into a mall and the shopping experience is overwhelmed by young people, I think what you're going to see is you're going to have malls and shopping experiences that will be for young people, and then there'll be boomer malls, and never the two shall meet.
And what if we look at it from the other end, the service end? With this booming number of Gen Y shoppers, will there be enough people manning the stores?
There hasn't been for a very long time, and this has been an enormous issue, and this is what precipitated such incredible immigration from south of the border. Consider. Retail is an entry-level position, is it not, working in retail? And we've all worked in retail. As boomers, as a boomer, I could say that's where I started. However, if you went into a McDonald's in the last 20 years and you found a high school kid, a Caucasian high school kid, that would be an absolute anomaly. We had to bring in millions of immigrants to take over the entry-level positions in the United States, including agriculture, because Generation X simply did not have the critical mass to satisfy the labor market for entry-level positions. Now, is retail going to have enough? Are they going to have enough people to hire to sell these products? Absolutely. The very people that are providing the new market, Generation Y, are turning 16, entering the labor market. And what are they doing? They're taking over the entry-level jobs, which points up all kinds of issues for the displacement of minorities and immigrants. But it's going to stop immigration cold. Immigration will stop by itself in the next 3 to 5 years, completely done, without legislation. There'll be plenty of people to work in retail, homegrown, English-speaking, our own labor force from right here.
It's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our 5 executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website, www.amanet.org. And now here's Kevin Lee.
Today at the AMA Center, I asked seminar participants to talk about how generational changes in the workforce were affecting their roles as employers.
I'm a sales manager, so I'm involved in recruiting and hiring, especially our sales force. And the Gen Xers, Gen Yers, they tend to be more concerned about a well-rounded life, and therefore work ethic sometimes becomes an issue, because the baby boomers are known as the people that work hard and play hard. We work longer hours than we've ever worked before, but yet we spend more money on recreation because of all that hard work. When it comes time to relax, we spend a lot of money. The Gen Xers, Gen Yers, if you will, they really aren't that too concerned about, you know, the hours that they work as much as being able to have a good family life, and they're more concerned about societal issues and community issues and knowledge and learning and all that stuff. So it's a different paradigm. It's something we've struggled with.
It's like a new set. They come into the game with a sense of entitlement. Like, what are you going to do for me?
Exactly. And it seems that they've got the mindset, and I don't know if they're learning this in college and at universities, but the mindset is to get promotion, you change jobs. And so that loyalty factor isn't there. Baby boomers, very loyal. You know, they believe in tenure. They believe in working for the same company. And that's never really an issue. With the college-age students or kids that are graduating nowadays, they look at it as it's just a job. When we got into the industry, it was a career. And there's a completely different dynamic in trying to appease those people and bring those individuals into our industry.
It's a very competitive market for candidates right now, and I find that more than half of being a recruiter is selling at the company as if I am a salesman for, you know, for an iPod, for instance. It's, you know, you have to sell ourselves as a cutting edge, you know, high tech, you know, cool place to work with all the best technology and with all the best features. And the candidates out there are like consumers. They're a little more self-centered, this generation. And it's my generation, people like I went to school with. I mean, I'm only out of school for like 3 or 4 years. So we're losing a lot of candidates to the Microsofts. We're not, you know, we're not, we don't have the name brand. It's all about branding. We're losing a lot of candidates to Google, Microsoft. It's all about, you know, what looks best on the resume, you know, what they can impress their parents with, what they can brag to their friends with. It's all about showing that it's like the best position for the best company. That is the kind of the gold standard for recruiting. So we have to combat that with other things. We have to show them that they can grow within our organization, which is smaller. We have a free lunch program. We have a whole bunch of perks that kind of appeals to that younger generation. We have flex work hours. We have a business casual environment. We're kind of using the Google model in that sense. So we have to sell, you know, we have to sell it as a very fun kind of extension of college.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.